the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
I'd be sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. 5th Avenue, downtown.
Hot rap!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Joins us every Friday, but since we're off tomorrow, I asked him if he could come on with us today, and he said he could. Brad, welcome in, sir. How you doing?
Excellent. How you doing, Bill, on this fine Thursday?
Interesting stat you put out a couple days ago when you're doing your team breakdowns and all that, but if you bet Temple every game from 07 to now, you'd be at 62.5% or something, you said.
Yeah, 62.5%. I mean, just, maybe it doesn't sound that great and overwhelming, but I mean, 62.5% is really, really good. I mean, and that's placing you in some of the contests as far as what they have, like in yearly contests, like the Golden Nugget contest that I'm in, or the Westgate contest. You're in contention with a record like that. To do that over a period of 13 years as a football program really speaks to how far Temple's come. I mean, I think people forget in the 90s and most of the early 2000s, I mean, I can make a case that Temple was the worst football program in America. I mean, the Big East kicked them out of the conference, for Pete's sake. So I think some of the reasons why Temple's undervalued is that they had a ways to go to come up to respectability. I think also some of it is, you know, Temple is a team that doesn't have a sexy style. You know, football sexy is sometimes a term I use. And by that, I mean, they're not, you know, going five wide, embracing full spread principles, a lot of offense. It's kind of a hard-nosed type of blue-collar type of team that relies heavily on their defense. So I think that's another reason why the Owls as a program is undervalued here.
Now, again, that's against the spread, everybody. That doesn't mean they won the game necessarily. It's against the spread. So sometimes that's confusing.
Yep. Yeah, that is to some people. But I think as college football betting and sports betting becomes more dominant, I think people understand what ATS, against the spread, means.
You also had, in that same period, if you just took Oklahoma State every game, you'd win at about a 58% clip.
Yeah, and they're next in line. So, I mean, that's a huge gap between 62.5% and 58.6%. I mean, that's, you know, significant more money if you're betting on Temple than Oklahoma State, but still, the fact that as a Power 5 school, Oklahoma State, with that kind of a spread record, I think that's flying a little bit under the radar. I mean, Oklahoma State, isn't even the number one program in their own state. So, take the politics out of it. Mike Gundy's a pretty good coach, obviously has Oklahoma State as well positioned as they've ever been as a football program.
Brad Powers with us, bradpowersports.com. You are going through your power rankings, and basically you go from 130 down and you tweet them. What do you do one a day or do you do several a day?
Great question. It kind of depends. I mean, it's kind of been an average of one a day over the last, you know, few months, but you know, I've been increasing it up as we get closer to the season. I am completely done with every single group of five team plus all the independents. So 67 down, 63 to go, and the 63 I got left are basically Power 5 teams.
you thumbing through that, I asked you this last week, but is there anything else that's jumped out at you that you weren't expecting once you started combing through the data?
Well, I would. I just wrapped up the AAC conference. I'll say this: as far as speaking to that conference, because I also watch film on a lot of these teams as I'm doing. The AAC as a conference just doesn't, to me, look on the field on film like any other group of five. They're more of a tweener conference. They really are. I mean, they're head and shoulders above any other group of five. In fact, I mean, I tweeted this out several weeks ago, but they're actually closer as far as an average team power rating to the ACC than they are to the next, you know, the group of five conference, the Mountain West. So, to me, I mean, they have three legit, as far as like a Vegas power rating goes, top 40 teams in UCF, Memphis, and Cincinnati, and they got several other, you know, decent teams that would, you know, win a few games even in a Power 5 conference, and maybe SMU. I think Houston will be improved this year. Just to me, from top to bottom, the conference is a pretty good group of five conference. I know a lot of people are just maybe Power 5 fans only, but I mean, as long as they can keep this conference together, Bill, there's a lot to like. And then you start looking at the room for growth, and you look at where these schools are placed. I mean, they're all placed in big time cities. I mean, whether it's Orlando or Memphis or Tampa or Houston or Dallas or New Orleans, I mean, they're all well positioned and well populated areas. I mean, just if they can keep the conference together, I mean, they can have quite a few good football programs.
And you, I think you've told me in the past, you're not a real big Dana Holgorsen guy, are you?
Oh, not at all. So, I mean, I'm not a big hot take guy, but if there is one hot take I have, I'm not a fan of Dana Holgorsen. In fact, I'll run his ATS numbers throughout his career, but it's not good. I mean, it's less than 45% against the spread. I just think he's overrated. But we'll see. I mean, obviously, he was pretty bold last year doing that, you know, redshirting a few of his guys after four games. Didn't work out with De'Aaron King, but we'll see if it works out with some of his other guys. They're going to be improved this year, Bill. I mean, just from the fact alone, they got 19 returning starters, which is more than anybody in the country. They're bringing in several more transfers. They kind of bottomed out last year. But even if, and I got him about a touchdown better than last year's team, if we're lining them up and playing at Council Bluffs, Iowa, like you like to say, Bill, I got this year's Houston team a touchdown better than last year. But even plugging that into their schedule, I still think it's only maybe a 6-6 type of team because Houston plays, in my opinion, the toughest schedule out of any group of five team in the country.
Are they in good shape at quarterback without De'Aaron King?
Well, Clayton Toon is the guy they went with last year after King decided to redshirt. He got a jump start, and from everything I read in spring, looks like he's going to be more settled in as a starter. I mean, obviously, it's a step down. De'Aaron King was, you know, fantastic for them as a dual threat. Toon's not a dual threat guy, so more of a pocket passer.
Right. Well, Dana always seems to put together an offense, not so much defense, so I assume that's probably going to be the MO in year number two for him.
Absolutely. I mean, the defense last year if you look at one measure, the metric that a lot of wise guys like to use, it's yards per play, and they were number 127 in the country defensively in yards per play allowed. A lot of those guys are back, a lot of incoming transfers, but if you had to ask me what's the strength of the team, it's certainly offense. Receiving core is really good. Marquez Stevenson's one of the fastest players in the country at wide receiver. Keith Corbin, who was probably their best overall wide receiver a year ago, he was one of those guys that took the red shirt after four games. He's back. Offense is certainly the strength of the team.
North Carolina just got the number one ranked cornerback in America out of Virginia Beach to commit, and they're ranked either three or four in the rankings, the composite rankings right now in the nation. Mack Brown seems to have the you know, I don't think of swagger when I think about him, but he seems to really be pointing in the right direction at North Carolina. I was a little iffy on that hire. But right now, man, he's got Momo, and most of the predictions, and I haven't seen them all, Brad, most of the predictions have them winning their division opposite Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, I was with you, Bill. I was iffy on the hire, and I go back to, I mean, he grew stale his last 3-4 years at Texas, for Pete's sake. Then you're out of college football coaching for 4 or 5 years. I hate to, you know, to put an age on it, but I didn't know. Well, what kind of energy? We like to say a little fire in the belly. I didn't know how much he had left in the gas tank there, but obviously, you know, it was a successful first season. It started with getting Sam Howell on the recruiting front. Last year's true freshman who put up as good as numbers as a true freshman quarterback as we've ever seen in college football history, right along with, you know, Trevor Lawrence and whatnot. And then it could have been even better last year. All 6 losses were close for them, North Carolina, so easily could have won 9 or 10 games a year ago. Continuing the momentum into this year, they're going to be very experienced coming into the season. As far as like a pure Vegas power rating, I have them in my top 20 overall. I think that's pretty much standard for a lot of people where they have them with 18 returning starters. And you mentioned, you know, I don't follow recruiting, you know, months in advance, but obviously with the shutdown, I got a little bit more time to follow it this year. I mean, to get a 5-star corner a bunch of other 4-stars, if I'm buying stock, I mean, to me, that's the second best program in the ACC right now moving forward.
So you agree with them being picked to win their division?
I don't. And I'm glad you came around and asked me that. The reason why is, you know, they have to play North Carolina, has to play at Virginia Tech. And as far as a pure power rating, even though I have North Carolina about a point ahead of Virginia Tech, the fact that it's at VT in that game, I'm going to have to go with Virginia Tech there.
So a little Justin Fuente. I mean, boy, you're talking about being kind of mediocre and head scratching and wonder. I got Hokie fans asking me all the time, what in the hell's going on? So you got them winning it. Wow, that division.
Yeah, as far as, you know, win-loss projection, just slightly higher because North Carolina's a non-conference schedule. I want to correct myself because I just made a mistake in the file I'm looking at because I'm remembering – last year's game went to multiple overtimes, and that game was in Blacksburg. That game this year is in North Carolina, so that's going to change. I'm going to change my thought process here and look at it. I do have Virginia Tech winning more games, but a lot of it has to do with the easier non-conference schedule outside of the Penn State game and a little bit easier conference schedule for them. So I still think Virginia Tech is a sleeper there and deserves as much credit. But as far as the Virginia Tech-North Carolina game, I have North Carolina as about a 6-point favorite. That's in Chapel Hill. And if they win that and there's a tiebreaker, then obviously they would hold that. So I apologize for that.
Oh, no problem. No problem. I didn't realize that game was in Chapel Hill either. I'd forgotten.
And we'll see how much that makes a difference. I mean, typically that's, you know, a 6-point swing in most cases and more in college football in a lot of cases. And what do I mean by a 6-point swing? Was, you know, you're giving each home team 3 points of home field advantage, so the, you know, difference of playing home away, you do the math, 6 points, and in a lot of cases at the Power 5 level, it might be 7. So that's why, I mean, it matters where the game's played because, I mean, in gambling terms, I mean, that's almost like a free teaser, a free 6-point, 7-point teaser. And of course, I would rather have North Carolina if that game's at home, but, North Carolina, this is one thing that people aren't talking about. I mean, North Carolina's an underdog in that opener. You can bet that game right now at UCF. They're about a field goal underdog in that game. Then week two, they're going to be an underdog in a neutral site game against Auburn. So as much publicity that's going around with North Carolina right now, statistically speaking, they got a far better chance of starting 0-2 than, you know, 1-1 or 2-0.
Here's what we'll do. We'll get the break. More Brad as we continue. We'll let you know how you can get all his information as well. He's with us Thursday because we're off tomorrow. Any questions for him, use the hashtag AskBP. We are presented by the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Traffic still moving right along down 65 right now through Madison, passing Briley Parkway. There's a crash just occurred with injuries. 4700 block at 11 and Pike, right in front of the Wells Fargo there in Hermitage. Still on the scene there, wreck in East Nashville, tying up Dickerson Pike at Ewing Drive. And a lot of radar out here this morning. Make sure you slow it down. Hey, Bars Music City Soul Food is now open behind the Bank of America on Nolensville Pike at OHB. Log on for lunch at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
The Southern Air Market combines the hospitality of a New Orleans-style neighborhood grocery with the convenience of a New York City bodega to cater to the needs of downtown Nashville residents and visitors. Located in the Pinnacle Building on DeMumbrian and 2nd Avenue next to its sister property, the Southern Steak and Oyster, the Southern Air Market is the first of its kind in the burgeoning SoBro neighborhood. Drop by to choose from shelves stocked with locally sourced sundry goods and produce. A butcher counter full of fresh meat and seafood, French-pressed coffee, made-to-order paninis, and a bevy of craft brews by the bottle. Don't want to leave the house or office? We also deliver at the Southern Air. Find us on DeliveryDudes.com and OrderUp.com. The Southern Air Market is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m., and Sundays from noon to 5:30. To learn more, visit SouthernAirMarket.com or call 615-490-8077.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show.
I always thought you were such a nice, quiet young man.
Westbrook pulls up at the free throw line. Tied ball game.
Here's a kid with an honest face.
Weekday afternoons at 4.
I'm in my car constantly late for appointments because I'm sitting here listening to you on the radio.
Here we go. We're going live right now.
I just want to tell you, I've been a long-time listener for 12, 13 years.
The Johnny Ballpark Frank Show on Nashville Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning, a slight chance of thunderstorms, high 91, mostly clear tonight, low 71, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 92, partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 71, and for Independence Day, mostly sunny, high 94. Utilize the resource.
Bill King doesn't need a countdown clock because he already knows when football season starts.
We were talking, Brad, a couple of weeks ago about the Heisman odds this far out. Of course, we're in July now. And there's really no value in there. Is that still the case? Have you found anything that looks like it has value and interesting?
No, I haven't, Bill. And, you know, you just mentioned... We were just talking North Carolina in the last, segment there. You know, right. Sam Howell is one of the guys that has taken some money in the market. Now, you know, 60-1, I mean, I don't think that was one where I was racing to bet when those Heisman odds opened up several months ago, but he took a little bit of money. His odds got cut in half down to 30-1 in North Carolina. Not that, you know, I think it's a toss-up whether or not they win the division for Pete's sake, and then – they very well could start off the season 0-2. Although I'll say this, one thing I do like about those early tough games, if Sam Howell has two really good games and you know, North Carolina pulls off a couple of small upsets against UCF and Auburn, Sam Howell's not going to be 30-1 at that point. I mean, he's going to be moved up into the top five or six as far as Heisman favorites. But again, the market's gotten a lot more sharper in the Heisman odds. Starting with the book is not offering a lot of long shot value to begin with. And then I think even some of the professionals are starting to realize that, hey, there might, if you can get a jump on this, there might be some value. I haven't seen as much value as in years past, but that doesn't mean that a guy can't come out of nowhere and win it like we've seen much of the last decade with regards to the Heisman.
Yeah, it's got to be on a really good team. It's got to be a quarterback. And like we said, you got to win a bunch of games. They won't let you just pad stats if your team isn't very good, will they?
No, they won't really anymore. I mean, it's the closest thing would probably be, you know, an 07 Tebow winning it on a three-loss team, RG3 winning it on a three-loss team. But those are, you know, the exceptions to the rule. I mean, the average regular season wins for the Heisman winner the last decade has been 11. So you're looking at 11-1 is the average record. So, yeah, I first off, you got to go quarterback unless you're an Alabama running back. And it could be an Alabama running back this year. I mean, nobody wants to talk about it, but, I think Alabama goes way run heavy. And if you're looking at Najee Harris, who I think is going to have an outstanding season, he's 40-1. If you're going to bet one running back, to me, that would be the running back you take, Najee Harris, out of Alabama, because I think they'll rely more heavily on the run game this year and less from the quarterback position like they had the last couple of years under Tua.
So you're saying you could get Najee Harris right now 40-1?
Yeah, 40-1. That's that one book again. I'd say shop around. Maybe there's another book that has a little bit better. But right now I'm looking at two different books, and he's both 40-1 at those.
It's his turn, isn't it? I mean, they're not afraid to substitute running backs, but it does seem like it's his time.
Yeah, I think so. And we saw that kind of at the end of last year. I mean, you pop in the tape. I thought he had a really good game against Michigan, at least to close out that game. The talent's there for him. I do think it's, yeah. And heck, Alabama, even times where, you know, outside the 1 year in 2015, I mean, they've been splitting running back carries for a majority of the, you know, Nick Saban tenure there. So, yeah, is he going to get, you know, as many carries as a get, you know, I'm trying to, who won it in 15? I'm trying to, all the Alabama running backs are running together on me here. Ingram won it in 2009, and Derrick Henry won in 15. I don't think Najee Harris is going to get as many carries as what, you know, Derrick Henry did, but I'm not sure that he necessarily has to.
Nathan says, could you ask Brad his personal odds on us actually having and finishing the college football season?
I think it's less than 50% now. I mean, I think we'll see something, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, and honestly, my feelings and thoughts change from week to week. If you'd asked me 2-3 weeks ago, I'd have been super confident. And now, I mean, in the last week, a little bit less confident. So to me, a lot of times I'm talking season win totals this time of year. I mean, that's what I'm betting, season win totals. I got to be honest with you, Bill. I think you're wasting your money with season win totals this year. I bet a few already, but, I mean, keep in mind, if teams don't play 12 games, you're just going to get your money back. If teams aren't going to, you know, play the same exact, you know, teams on their schedule, maybe there has to be some rescheduling going on. You're going to have to get your money back. So the only people that win in that instance is, you know, the Vegas sports books that, you know, are holding your money for months and months at a time. So I just don't think there's any value with season win totals right now.
Well, and you just said it, but 12 regular season games.
Yeah, it's just regular. You basically, I mean, you got to play 12 regular season games. This is a majority, not all, but I'm talking 90%+ of sports books here. You got to play 12 regular season games unless you're Hawaii and you're playing 13. And you also got to play the exact 12 teams on your schedule like it is laid out in the preseason. The chances of that happening for every team, I think that's less than 50%. And really, to bet a season win total, you got to have a good edge. I mean, for the books to hold your money for 4, 5, 6 months at a time, we're not talking like a regular advantage during the course of a football season. You got a point or so advantage in your opinion that you like to make a game bet. I mean, you got to feel like you got a really good advantage over the books for them to hold your money. And at this point, to overcome that, overcome that they got to hold your money, and to overcome the fact that I'm not sure a lot of these teams are going to play these 12 games or play the same 12 opponents on their schedule. Just not worth a bet at this point for me.
So even though you are going to get your money back, you're saying it's just a waste of time probably.
Yeah, I mean, I don't make them to get my money back,
sure.
Bill. Let me put this in perspective. When I make season win total bets, my expectation is I need to be hitting about 60% of those types of bets, whether they're game of the years, you know, betting those early college lines, you know, for the big games throughout the course of the year, early week one, betting, you know, week one months in advance, betting season win totals. My expectation is I have to hit about 60%. Now, 60% is not necessarily my goal. I mean, I'd love to hit 60%. In fact, 2 years ago, I had a 60-plus percent season. But when it comes to the regular season, my goal is 55%. That's where you start making some really good profits. That's pretty much every professional bettor handicapper's goal, is if you're hitting at least 55%, that's a really good season. But when it comes to some of this off, you know, the summer market stuff, my goal is 60%, because that's what I – to have an edge for it to really be worth my money, it's got to be that. I don't know. I mean, with this season, with all the variables, all the uncertainty, it's not worth it for me, Bill.
Brad, bottom of the hour break here. Tell everybody how they can get your info.
Yeah, and a lot of that info is free right now. I just posted the American Athletic Conference at the website bradpowersports.com. You can also get season win total projections for every single team. You also got a lot of NFL stuff in there as well. It's NFL College. It's a weekly newsletter during the season, monthly newsletter during the off season. Right now, download all that 2020 information for free. If you go to bradpowersports.com, click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
All right, break time. One more segment here with Brad on Thursday, because tomorrow we're off, so he's been gracious enough to come on today. Any questions, use the hashtag AskBP on Twitter. We're presented by the beautiful, gorgeous Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's still busy out here, but it's moving fairly decent here, down 65, making your way through Madison as they still wrap up that wreck with injuries. Lebanon Pike in front of the Wells Fargo. That's about the 4700 block of Lebanon Pike. Ewing Drive at Dickerson Pike trying to recover from the scene of that earlier collision. Hey, it's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Occoquan River. Book online, adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Guys, waking up over and over to pee is not okay. But now, you can reduce those nighttime bathroom trips with the ingredients in Super Beta Prostate P3 Advanced. We're talking about less urges to pee at night, less bathroom trips during the day, and better bladder emptying.
It's like taking 3 prostate supplements in one.
You can try a full 30-day bottle of P3 Advanced, free. Just pay shipping and handling. No strings attached, no obligations, and no commitments to buy. This is a 30-day supply, absolutely free. Call 1-800-478-0480. Super Beta Prostate is the best-selling brand in major retailers like Walmart. But for this no-strings-attached free bottle, you must call now. Call 1-800-478-0480. Don't miss out on this unprecedented free offer. Call 1-800-478-0480. 1-800-478-0480.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have
twinsies.
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Hey, what you reading?
It's called The Ledger. There's a great column on the Titans.
So it's a sports publication?
No, not just sports. Like, see here, there's a great cover story on why Middle Tennessee's real estate market is so hot. The Ledger has stories written by some of Nashville's best, most experienced journalists. And you can get all the information on the Mid-State's fast-growing restaurant scene. There's profiles of community leaders and data that helps generate leads for my business.
And sports?
Yes, including UT coverage from Knoxville.
Expensive?
Is free expensive?
Free, huh?
Yeah, grab you one at hundreds of locations. And tnledger.com. It's The Ledger. Pick one up today.
The Braves Radio Network is right there with you. We miss baseball. So we're bringing you Braves replays every weekend at noon Central. It's Braves Extra Innings. We're re-airing games from the 2019 season every weekend until baseball returns.
This one is hammered. A rocket high into the heavens and deep to left field and gone.
Catch the Atlanta Braves Extra Innings on Nashville's home for Atlanta Braves baseball. Nashville Sports Radio.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Great conversation we were having, actually yesterday, a couple times. Do you think there's any way Oregon could lose the Ohio State game, but win the rest and then be given a placement by the committee in the playoffs?
I think there's a possibility of that. I mean, obviously it's going to have to be a really close loss because, I mean, all I got to look at is last year. I mean, they were right there in the mix, losing the opener to Auburn. And if they don't lose to Arizona State late in the season, and you know they continue with the Pac-12 title win that they had over Utah, they'd have been right there. In fact, I think Oregon would have probably gotten it over Oklahoma. So I mean, I can just point to last year to kind of prove my case there. But I mean, they can't get beat by three touchdowns by Ohio State and expect to get in. But if they lose by three, I mean, yeah, certainly.
Yeah, and other things would have to happen, obviously, east of them. But, yeah, I mean, there's a window there. Now, could Ohio State, let's say Ohio State somehow lost that game but won all the others in the Big Ten. They'd get in probably, right? Big Ten champs, et cetera.
Yeah, Big Ten. We say that, although, I mean, we've had seasons where the Big Ten champ hasn't gotten in. But, I think Ohio State would be in at that point. You know, a close loss on the road. They would be given credit for scheduling an Oregon game. Buckeyes would still be in my opinion.
Another angle that will never be admitted to, but I think the committee, considering other than Oregon under Mariota and then Washington, only Pac-12 teams to get in. It seems like they get left out all the time. I think politically, and again, they would never admit this, there may be a West Coast bias, might not be the word, but sympathy vote if it came down to that, just for balance, you think?
Yeah, I could see that because just to try to remove some of that narrative. Maybe they throw a bone to the Pac-12, but I mean, I'm not about when it comes to power ratings and political and whatnot. I'm just about, you know, what I see on the field and the strength of the teams. And the reality is, I mean, the Pac-12 has deserved to been left out a lot of these years, Bill. They just haven't put up, you know, a worthy team in the playoffs. So I've had no issues with a little bit of East Coast bias there.
I want to double back on something I mentioned either Tuesday or Wednesday. They're not going to be picked to win their division or anything, but don't you like the trajectory of Louisville under Satterfield? Don't you think they're in good shape for the future?
Oh, absolutely. I think Satterfield last year pulled off one of the better coaching jobs in the entire country. I mean, he inherited an absolute mess. Louisville quit on there. They quit as a team, as a program on their coach, Bobby Petrino, in 2018. In fact, I mean, against the spread, I mean, Louisville was coming up short of against the spread by more than two touchdowns a game in 2018. That's against the spread. Forget on the scoreboard. I mean, the expectation was at the end of the year that they had stuck, and they still were coming up short by more than two touchdowns a game. Obviously, it's tough in that division. They're not gonna. They're nowhere near as close to Clemson at this point. In fact, on a neutral, I'd favor Clemson by about 3 touchdowns over Louisville. But they're in really good shape. I mean, they can go toe to toe. Obviously, Florida State on that division for being the second best. So they're rock solid. Season win total for Louisville is right around 7, 7.5, and I think that's a fair number for them.
I saw somewhere, and I wish I could attribute who it was, I think picked Louisville over Notre Dame in that match. Where is that on the schedule this year?
It's later in the season, in November, and I've seen some early game of the year lines on that one. Notre Dame's about a 2-touchdown favorite, so I mean that would be a sizable upset. And for all the grief I give Brian Kelly, it's actually, wow, it's the home finale for Notre Dame. It's right before the USC game. So I don't know on that one. And the reason I don't know, give Notre Dame credit, and I tweeted this out several weeks ago, the only two programs in the last 3 years not to lose a game against an unranked team, there's only two of them. Alabama, which you got to go all the way back to the Louisiana Monroe game back in 2007. That's the last time Alabama lost to an unranked team. And the second team that hasn't lost to a single unranked team in the last 3 years, Notre Dame. They've taken care of business the last 3 years. They haven't stepped up in the bigger moments, but they certainly have beaten the teams they should. And right now on paper, they should beat Louisville. I'd have Notre Dame about a 2-touchdown favorite in that game.
Something I haven't mentioned yet, but we've touched on it generally. Southern Cal, the school, reverses course and announces that its undergrads will be primarily taking online classes this fall. Makes you wonder about football, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I went from probably 75% to less than 50% in the last 7 to 10 days. And, I just don't know, Bill. I don't think anybody fully knows. We'll see. I mean, this is like a moving target. I mean, it could be totally different here about a month from now. But the problem is, this is the month that I think a lot of people circled. You got to start making scheduling decisions and whatnot at this point. I mean, you got pretty much everybody's on campus. I mean, let's just put it this way. The next month will be about one of the most important months in the history of college football, in the history of sports. And, you know, somebody tweeted this out, in the history of Vegas as well. So, I mean, I'm not going to – if you're sensing a little bit of nervous energy from me, you're getting it. That's the truth because, I mean, it's tough to have BP Sports, Brad Bauer Sports, if there are no sports. So, this month is going to say pretty much everything for at least the rest of 2020, in my opinion.
Brad, I'll let you go here, sir. Tell everybody how they can get your info one more time.
Yeah, bradpowersports.com. You click on the Bill King tab at the top of the page. Lots of great free information. If you just want to, you know, sit around the pool, it's 4th of July weekend, need something to read, I have for free right now, you can download any team preview from any group of five team plus all the independents. That's for free. I got season win total projections and that spring football preview guide. A lot of great bets to make in the NFL. That's in the NFL preview guide. Download it for free at bradpowersports.com, the Bill King tab at the top of the page.
Brad, have a good weekend, sir.
Right back at you. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there.
There you go. There you go, everybody. There he is, Brad. Yeah, and you know what? I still think that we're going to play, but just the news that keeps hitting. But and they stress the negative news. The death rate's going down, though. That is good. Now, again, the crossroads will be if we don't get another spike. Meaning the death rate's still going down. We just had the best Wednesday we've had in quite some time. Still a bunch of deaths, so I'm not making that as if it's good. But the number is better and getting better every day, basically, as opposed to the number of cases, which are going up. If we don't have a spike in deaths and we continue this downward trajectory, I think we should be good to go. Now, again, anything is possible there. I'm not counting out anything. But that's the way I look at it. Now, remember, this hasn't come up in a while from that tweet about Southern Cal. They're now saying predominantly online will be our courses. And remember early on when this started and we had the football conversation about it as it relates to the virus. And their thinking was, well, you can't have only online classes and have your football team there. The regular campus isn't there, but your football team's there. Well, why not? I mean, what is that a rule? I mean, they can take online classes from their apartment or their dorm, right? I mean, why not? I'm just saying now maybe it's to the point where they can't play, but I've never understood the absolute, you can't have them here and nobody else. Well, they're not your typical student. They're different. They're taken care of better than the typical student. So, and I still see this. Boy, you're talking about getting me every time. And these are guys that I like on Twitter. I still see this. Well, kind of tough to bring them back when they're not getting anything. What in the bleep is that? You're getting everything given to you, including cash in your pocket. Why is that allowed to stand when somebody tweets that? Why is that allowed to be spread? How the hell is that lie allowed to be perpetuated? And it people put that out there all day long. It's like everything they get doesn't count. That's just taken for granted. Don't tell me I get anything. That's just stuff. That's not really anything. If you want to apply it to the average student, what would the average student think if you said, no tuition, no cost of housing, no cost for your food, totally supported by all the academic and health needs that you have, and we're going to give you cash to put in your pocket? You think they'd say I'm not getting anything? Yeah, I have never understood that. And it's continually perpetuated. It's like it's a lie and we don't really care. We're just going to keep spreading the lie. And you know what? I mean, it's to the point where it's said so much, people believe that garbage. What's the old saying? Tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. Isn't there a saying like that? That's basically what's happened with that topic. Tell it, spread it widely enough and long enough, and it just becomes the way it is. Even though it's absolutely not true. It's 100% a lie. A falsehood. And it's spread every day. So again, I don't know. I know a lot of others are saying right now, we're planning on getting everybody back to class. Matter of fact, Columbia University in New York City said, no, we think it's safer to have everybody back on campus. They're students, not talking about the sports. We think it's safer in that climate, which I didn't expect to hear that out of Columbia. That was a couple of days ago that hit. Anyways, we need one more break, so let's take it right here. Presented by the beautiful Omni Nashville Hotel.
Well, good morning. It's still busy out here, but it's moving fairly decent here down 65, making your way through Madison as they still wrap up that wreck with injuries. Lebanon Pike in front of the Wells Fargo. That's about the 4700 block at Lebanon Pike. Ewing Drive at Dickerson Pike trying to recover from the scene of that earlier collision. Hey, it's time to have some summertime fun at Adventures Unlimited on the Ocoee River. Book online, adventuresunlimited.net. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Are you looking for the ideal destination for family fun? A place with the best bowling, games, food and drink, and entertainment? Strike and Spare Family Entertainment is the answer. And with five centers in Middle Tennessee, there is a location near you. All open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit their locations in Donaldson Plaza, Hermitage, and the Tusculum area. And enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville at Circus World, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, Time Freak, a laser maze, a virtual reality roller coaster, and an indoor bungee trampoline. Strike and Spare is expanding their Murfreesboro operations to the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall, with most of the attractions Hendersonville offers. Like them on Facebook for updates on the new Strike and Spare Murfreesboro. Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are also the perfect place for your next gathering, from birthday parties to family reunions. For more information, visit strikeandspare.com. Remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
I'm a retired school psychologist, and helping people was my thing. After my stroke, when Meals on Wheels started, I was on the other end of the stick, so to speak. My name is Julius Gaines, creative writer, poet, photographer.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Nashville Sports Radio has been your home for sports and information for over 25 years. And in these uncertain times, we understand the importance of information. With all the questions about the coronavirus, Nashville Sports Radio provides you the answer with the CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, airing every Saturday night starting at 6. Answering all the questions about the coronavirus and providing you with the best information. The CBS Coronavirus Special with Gil Gross, every Saturday at 6 on Nashville Sports Radio.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast for this morning: a slight chance of thunderstorms, high 91, mostly clear tonight, low 71, mostly sunny tomorrow, high 92, partly cloudy tomorrow night, low 71, and for Independence Day, mostly sunny, high 94. Utilize the resources.
Doesn't know everything about college football. Yeah, he does. It's the Bill King Show.
Checking in this morning. Says Bill, George on Seinfeld had a great line one time in which he said, quote, "It's not a lie if you believe it." That statement defines the mainstream media in 2020. Well, yeah. Defines a lot. Absolutely. No, I agree with that. We need a rebound of some good news. I wouldn't say it's all negative. I mean, we need a obviously a good July. We need a positive July. That's what we need. Yeah, Rusty was with us earlier, and we talked about many things. Rusty's so good every time, right? But we talked about the high schools because every state's different and their rules and what they're going to do. But Georgia's basically set to begin football on time, meaning the high schools. Now, again, that doesn't mean, like he said, and like I'm saying, doesn't mean things can't change and they pull things back. But that's the plan right now, Georgia. This state, not necessarily the case. They have expanded the date on the Emergency Act to August 29th. So you cannot practice football at all in any form before the 29th of August, unless that date changes. Now, you can still show up and do your workouts and all that stuff, but you can't do much football-related stuff other than the lifting. But the actual application of football stuff's very limited. And you can't do 7-on-7 or anything, even with your own team. Now, you can in Georgia, you can do 7-on-7. You can't do it with another team, though, but you can within the structure of your team. So Georgia is further out than this state is when it comes to heading towards the beginning of the regular season. See, right now, August 29th, where they're not even going to let you practice until then, that'd be week three of the actual regular season, two or three, somewhere in there. For the state of Tennessee. Rusty said that'd be week three in Georgia, so probably be about the same here. And you know what? I'm not saying necessarily what's right or wrong here. I know that they're doing this in the utmost form of protection, right? Political protection and protection of the players. But there's also talk that the TSSAA will appeal to the governor's office or whoever it would be, committee, I don't even know. I don't know the protocol. I don't really care. But appeal that they be placed under the same status as like pro teams and college teams, which are not under this emergency order, where they can make decisions more freely. And my thinking on that, just a pure guess, is I wouldn't think that would be cleared, because you wouldn't think the governor would want that, in case there's a breakout or something, wouldn't want the political backlash of that. I don't know that. I'm speculating on it, but I'm doing it with no knowledge at all. Just speculating on it. But anyways, I hope they get it. I've been talking to my kids about it, and they're a little, you know, they want to get started. But again, isn't it amazing? All these years, and we've never even considered that something like this could happen and not only shut down sports, but shut down economies. Businesses. Never, of all the things that I've thought about concerning college football and all the various years and all the different teams and outcomes, this never, ever, I guess we were spoiled. Never occurred to me that could happen. Never even speculated on it, that something like that could actually happen. We are off tomorrow. Crazy Charlie will pick something out to put in our spot between 6 and 9 Central Time. Tomorrow is the observed holiday of the 4th, so I checked with Adam and I said, are we off? And he said, yes, we're off. So I know I catch heat every time we do this, which is very rare. Very rare, but we are off tomorrow. We'll be back Monday. We'll be back on Monday, and I'll look forward to it. I never look for time away much. I haven't taken a vacation in I don't know how many years. Doesn't look like one's coming this time either. Well, tomorrow, okay? Tomorrow's my vacation. Anyways, yeah, I think it's going to be, and I see a lot of you posting. I think Alan said he's got a brisket. Yes, Alan said he picked up a brisket. That's what they're going to have over the holidays. I see where Buck is talking about it, too, on Twitter. He's got a brisket. I think we're going ribs. Yeah, we picked up some ribs. Ribs and pasta salad, maybe some twice-baked potatoes. That looks to be what we are doing for the July 4th holidays. Love it. I think July 4th is my second favorite holiday. My first is Memorial Day. This year it wasn't as fun because of the shutdown and everything, but this is one of my favorites too. Yeah, love this one too. Summertime, everybody's happy. Some, you know what's interesting is some of the pools are opened up and then some of the others are not opened up around. That's also what's very interesting. This time of year, you don't see as much pool play because some of them haven't been cleared. At Crazy Charlie 615, we'll be back Monday. Yeah, tomorrow we're off. Monday, no guesting. No. That's one thing that will not change. If we add somebody to the list, like Pick 6 Previews, Brett Ciancia, it won't be on Mondays. No. That is a sacred no-guest day. By the way, he's been added every week now, starting Wednesdays at 6:30 Central. Brett Ciancia joins the Hall of Fame list at Villas King. Lajpah.